Okay, the time is now 5:08 PM and the Warwick Finance Committee is opening. And for the record, Councilman Foley is not attendance tonight, so Councilwoman Travis will be sitting in on his behalf. May I have a motion for the acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on February 5th?
Moved.
You were here, yep. We have a motion, we had a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So to begin the meeting, I'd like to, for public knowledge, bid 2024-104, which is item number 23, is being withdrawn per request of the department. Per request of the department, bid 2024-104, which was item number 23, that was purchase new Camstrup water meter, was withdrawn per request to the department. Thank you.
Chairman, we need to remove it from the bid package, so we need to put a PCR on it.
Thank you. May I have a PCR? Because item number 23, bid 2024-104, purchase of new Camstrup water meter was withdrawn per request of the event director, it is now PCR 17-24. So, may I have a motion or... May I have a motion on the withdrawal of PCR 17-24?
Move favorable action.
Like a second. No, before, may I have, is there any discussion by the members of the committee?
No.
Members of the council? Members of the public? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item number one is bid 2024-388 Bravo. This is the purchase of a mobile command center. And good evening, Major. Before we begin, if there's no objection from members of this committee, I would like to do item number three right after Bravo, which would be 2024-388 Alpha, if that's okay. No objections. Thank you. Good evening, Major. We're just going to discuss bid 2024-388 Bravo first, and then we'll go right into Alpha, which is item number three.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department. The Police Department is requesting a 56-6 exception to bid to purchase a mobile command center from Emergency Vehicles Incorporated of Lake Park, Florida. The mobile command center would be purchased under the HGAC cooperative bid for a price of $595,021. The police department does not have a dedicated mobile command center and must rely on access to the Warwick Emergency Management RV as needed. The Warwick Emergency Management RV is underutilized mostly due to its age and condition. The proposed mobile command center would be used for a wide variety of purposes and would also house our crisis negotiation team, whose job it is to safely de-escalate volatile situations with the ultimate goal of peaceful resolutions. De-escalation is at the forefront of modern policing, and this purchase would further enhance their professionalism and provide for an optimal environment to conduct their trainings and to carry out actual negotiations. If approved, funding would be allocated from budget code 510-0400 ARPA.
Thank you so much, Major. As you, I'm sure you noticed earlier, I was having a little technical difficulty, so I'm going to come back. I would like to ask Councilman Gephardt.
Hi, Major.
Good evening.
So, I started to raise this last time, and this one made me think about it a little bit more. So last time we were here, we moved forward on the armored vehicle. And this time around, we've got I don't know the total, but it's $600,000 or $700,000 related to this, to the mobile command unit. And while I understand these are what feel important now, I just go back to the budget process where we had approved in the budget $3 million for building renovation in this year and then $3 million for building renovation in next year. And we habitually in the city just don't end up taking care of our facilities. So now I'm concerned because and I understand some of the background in that the $6 million was not going to be sufficient to renovate the buildings. But it seems to me that now we found other priorities to spend the $3 million that was allocated this year for the building. And I'm just worried that we're kicking the can down the road on taking care of facilities like has been our past practice. I'll give you the opportunity or other folks from the city the opportunity to talk about it. But, last time around, it was, that, hey, we've had needs for this vehicle and for the armored vehicle. And so we're going to, we've had multiple calls for it and safety, et cetera. And so we went and purchased it. And now we've got the command center, which your justification sounds logical. I'm sure you have events where you need this. But when I go back to the budget, the priority was taking care of the facility. And I just see that not becoming the focus. So my question is more strategic. And so what are we trying to do here? Because it seems to have shifted from when we put the budget together.
So basically, within the last few years, we had commissioned a study with Kessel Booz to draft a rendering and a cost estimate of a substantial improvement to our station. However, that between that cost estimate and what we ended up having for available funds were light years apart, and we could not make any measurable differences for the money we were left with, essentially.
So are the purchases that came to us last time and now this one, are these part of a broader plan? Like, do you already have an idea of what you're going to spend the $3 million on? Or is this more a situation of, hey, we promised police that we'd do something for them and then it turned out to be more expensive, so now we're just going to go down the shopping list and pick up the things that were second, third, fourth order priorities?
So based on the exorbitant cost of doing a renovation, that coupled with the school bond that did pass, that kind of left us out in the field, so to speak, without the funding or any potential opportunity for funding. So at that point, we reassessed at what we could do with the money. And as far as any station improvements, and there's really no measurable improvements that could be done for the funds we had remaining, and with construction costs being exorbitant, as we all know, so our priorities at that time shifted to investing in our some of our specialty vehicles. These are vehicles that last 20-30 years that essentially a legacy purchase that will benefit members years from now after we're all gone.
Okay. That's helpful. So then are there other purchases that are part of this package that are not here before us now? Is this part of a broader strategy to replace other of these types of assets?
So one of the other things we're exploring is getting a structure, metal structure that would go in one of the parking lots on the Bragger Street side of the building, which is the west side of the building. And that would house some of the specialty vehicles. It would house the motorcycles, because we have a lot of equipment that's stored in Connex boxes and kind of here and there and not centrally stored, and it's not really efficient either. Space is always at a premium at our police department. So this structure that we have planned would house these vehicles, and we do lot improvements out front also, and some enhanced camera systems. The camera systems, that was already approved previously, and that's part of the expenditure too.
Okay. Yeah, it's helpful for us because obviously we spend a lot of time on the budget. We go through what are the priorities, where do we want to spend money. We dig into them, and then we just start to get these large purchases in the bid package that don't appear connected to what we're trying to do. So that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. All for you guys getting the resources that you need to do your job. I'm just I feel disconnected from what the goal is here.
Councilman, if I might add something to what the major mentioned, you should. Sure. Aaron Mackesy, Mayor's Chief of Staff. The Finance Committee, as well as the full council, should have received a memo from Finance Director Schaefer about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, that outlines changes in ARPA priorities that included this item, as well as the other item that you mentioned at considered at the last council meeting. Be happy to track down the memo, make sure we resend it so that you can review it.
Yeah, okay. That would be helpful. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
Afternoon, actually, I guess. So I just want to kind of circle back on some of the questions that Councilman Gebhardt asked. Does the budget, the ARPA funds, remain in place for the $3 million this year for the repairs, or for some repairs to the police station, as well as $3 million for next year?
I can speak for the $3 million that we're investing in these specialty vehicles, exterior security, lighting and whatnot for the parking lot, a storage structure, a metal storage structure, essentially a large garage, and the camera system that we've already approved also. As for the other $3 million, I can't speak for tonight.
So I guess more to my point is, so we're looking at about $730,000 now. I think we just approved close to $700,000. So it's about $1.3 million that has passed and is being considered this evening for vehicles. Does that $1.3 million, if this request is approved, is that being drawn out of the $3 million that was in the budget to do the repairs to the police station?
Well, again, those funds were all reallocated per the administration after conferring with our command staff. So those funds are not for police station improvements per se. They will, again, build the structure, which will greatly assist us with storage needs, improve the front lot of our police station, adding the cameras, but it's not necessarily going to build on our existing building any. It won't. It's not for any improvements per se.
So I think that's an issue of concern.
Yeah, it is. We understand that. It's just, again, it's getting into you're in the business, you know how much money will go how far, especially in a commercial building. It's what we could do with the leftover money that we had we couldn't even scratch the surface, basically. And we didn't know if it was throwing good money at bad, essentially, at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, short of, and I'm probably getting off the track here, but it does pertain to the questions that Councilman Gephardt asked. Short of building a new police station, you got to fix what you got. And I was weighing this item around quite a bit. So tell us a little more, Major, about the importance from the police department's perspective for having this vehicle. I've did a little bit of research on this on my own, and I understand that we have a big responsibility here with this airport, even though they don't pay anywhere near their fair share to us. Nonetheless, we own that responsibility. And some of the things that I've learned about the reasoning for this vehicle is for that type of a response. We live in a crazy, crazy world today. Society is not like what it was 25, 30 years ago. We are the second largest city in the state, contrary to what some other folks may allude to. And with that comes a large responsibility. We also have recognition of being one of the 10, I believe it is, most safest cities in the country. And I know we all feel the same about that. We want to keep it that way. And the potential for a serious issue developing in this city is it's a big concern to me. And it just becomes more of a concern every day with all of the craziness that we see going on. So tell us about, if there were a serious issue at, it could be at one of the schools, it could be at the airport, it could be anyways, it could be at the beach. How would this vehicle aid the police department in their job for assessing, analyzing, reacting, et cetera, as opposed to having boots on the ground?
Well, it wouldn't replace boots on the ground. It'd be essentially an on-site small police station, if you will. It'll allow us to drive the vehicle out there. It could be out there and however it takes to drive from the station to the site. It'll be an instant command center where we have radio equipment, television equipment. There are cameras on the vehicle that aren't, they're not surveillance cameras. They're just cameras of what the naked eye can see outside of the vehicle. There are a small meeting table. There's a bathroom. It's basically built to sustain a logical command center for an extended period of time, or even a short period of time if the matter is resolved peacefully ahead of time. It also, we previously had a mobile command center that was, I believe, is repurposed to the school department because it just was way beyond its useful life as a command center in the police department. But when we did have it, it also doubled as our backup dispatch center. And that's our intention to use it for this too. There are times when our dispatch center will go down and our dispatchers could easily and quickly within about 10 minutes relocate and be up and running in a command center that's out in the parking lot. That's just one of the many things that can go to a, God forbid, any mass casualty event, natural disasters, public education campaigns that are of a police matter, such as DUI enforcement, press conferences, recruitment drives. It just goes on and on, the whole list of, you don't see the one we have out there now because it's, again, because of the condition. That's why it's underutilized. A recent example is a UPS strike. We did quite a bit of preparation for that, that thankfully did not happen, but we had to prepare nonetheless. DPW worked diligently to try to get the current, I believe it's 2005 Winnebago emergency vehicle center that we have now, or that the city has now. They spent quite a bit of time just getting that to be minimally serviceable to be used at the UPS strike should we had needed it. And it would have been crucial had we needed it, because it would have been an area for supervisors to manage personnel, coordinate who's coming in, who's leaving. Just it would be invaluable at the scene of something like a major strike like that. Mm-hmm. And we're forbidden from using UPS property for any setting up a command post, and we wouldn't want to burden any neighboring businesses with taking over their property to do the same either. So it has quite a few uses.
So the things that really stand out to me is the interest of the health, safety, and welfare of our citizens as well as our police officers in doing a job that I can tell you right now I would not want to do, no matter how much you want to pay me for that job today. The social events aspect of it, that's not as anywhere near as important to me as in the big picture. I think if this vehicle passes, I'm sure we'll all agree it's another purchase that we hope never has to get put into use. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. As I'm looking over this item, I understand from the white paper that the police department has been without a mobile command unit for a number of years and has used the EMA vehicle on occasion. I haven't seen the EMA vehicle too recently, but I do recall a few years before COVID at an event, I was able to enter that vehicle, learned a little bit about it. So let's see. I know that the white paper had also referred to the EMA vehicle as nearing the end of its life expectancy. So given that the city has, for a good period of time now, only had one of those types of vehicles, would this vehicle be intended to also, I don't mean to use the word replace the EMA vehicle, but I suppose what I'm asking here is, should we be anticipating that in the near future, we might be asked to approve the purchase of a new EMA, similar mobile unit, in addition to approving this? Or is it going to be one of those situations where once the EMA vehicle runs its course, then this vehicle would also be used for that purpose?
I can't speak for the EMA director, as far as any intentions to purchase anything in the years ahead of us, but I can say we would be more than happy to share with our brothers at the fire department if there was any issue with the current vehicle not working or some kind of emergency.
Thank you. And I see that the chief is coming up to the mic.
Good evening, chief.
Good evening.
Just please identify.
Chief Peter McMichael.
Why are you speaking, chief?
I'm speaking on behalf of also the EMA director.
Thank you.
So in regards to that, I have had discussions with the colonel about this purchase, and he has, we've had discussions, it would be available to EMA to be used. So we will not be coming for to you to replace the EMA vehicle at any time. This would satisfy that need down the road as well.
Well, thank you very much. That's good to hear.
Just another note, I think we cheated time a little bit. I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, we got that for free from North Providence after they won the Google lottery. So they didn't need it anymore, and they bought a new one at the time.
Thank you, Chief, Major. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Please. Right over here, ma'am. Just identify, please, and then you can make your statement or ask your question. Thank you.
All right, thank you. My name is Amy Forrest. I live and own 160 Vancouver Avenue. I appreciate you opening the conversation about our city being the number 10 safest. I beg to differ. I'm living right in back of a gang house that has been raided, and my septic, their septic system is overflowing into my property. I have not been able, my family and I, to enjoy our property for 8 months. That is three seasons. And so nothing has been done except from the Warwick Police Department and my Evan Shanley, my district rep. I don't know where my help is, but I know I pay my taxes every month. And I cannot enjoy my property. I can't sell it. I have to disclose this. They're not doing anything about it. It's a long rent, and we're talking millions and millions of dollars. I just need to be able to sit in my backyard. So I don't understand why I cannot get resolution. After 8 months, much mental health stress. My mom just passed away 2.5 years ago. My best friend just passed away. My best friend of 40 years, 2 months ago, my dog has cancer. And so I feel like I'm not being heard. And I feel like, you know, your comment, I had to get in there because I don't know what to do.
Thank you, ma'am. So would you be in general support of this bid for the vehicle?
Yes, I would definitely.
Thank you.
Yes. And how do I go about rectifying my problem?
I would, the chief of police right there, Mr. Chief Colonel Connor, he asked me to direct you towards him.
Well, that's not true, sir, because the DEM is the one that's holding the ball, and everyone keeps throwing the ball back to the DEM. Ray Munier, who has told me personally he has over 210 cases and that this could take over 5 years.
Yes, ma'am. What the chief is asking is that you said, is there someone who can help? And the chief raised his hand. He's willing to help you. So I'm just referring you to the chief.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, Councilman Gebhardt, you're also. Thank you, ma'am.
I just wanted to make a comment here. So I did receive a copy of the memo, which thank you. Actually, it does lay out a number of these priorities. So my bad on that. I feel better about that given this information. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions from members of the public? Sir, just identify when you come up to the mic.
James Torres, U.S. Army retired. 4080 Post Road. I was wondering about the $3 million that you guys get for improvements to the station every year. Sorry about that.
That's thank you.
Do you guys use that to like paint and the cells and stuff like that? Buy new mattresses and like blankets and stuff.
Major? We do routine improvements in all facets of the department as needed.
Roger. And like bubblers and stuff like that, and like toilets. Is that like was the last time that those?
That's fair. Yeah, we have repaired toilets.
Roger that. All right. That was the only question, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions from members of the audience? Thank you. Major, stay there. We're going to go on to bid 2024-388 Alpha. This is purchase of the cab and chassis. This is found on page 18. We are just skipping over a couple pages to page 18 in the bid package. Major, thank you.
Major Andy Sullivan for the police department. The police department is requesting a 56-6 exception to bid to order a in order to purchase a 2025 Peterbilt Model 548 cab and chassis to complete the build of the proposed Mobile Command Center, as requested in companion bid 2024-388B Bravo. The chassis would be purchased through the Peterbilt store in Johnston, Rhode Island under the Sourcewell Cooperative bid at a cost of $129,975. This price includes shipping to the Florida facility, EVI, where the Mobile Command Center will be manufactured. If approved, funding will be allocated from budget code 5100400 ARPA.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of this committee? Are there any questions, comments from members of this council? Councilman Ricks.
Just had a question about the nature of the 56-6 here, that is being purchased in New Johnston and then transported down to Florida. Would there be other Peterbilt stores or the like, or other dealers where we might be able to save some money? I know that vehicles are often less expensive in the South. The transportation might be less. So I wasn't sure if there might be some other options here, or if this is just one of these national corporations where the vehicle wouldn't actually, in fact, originate in Johnston and then be transported to Florida, but really transported from some third location to Florida.
You just answered your question, Mr. Ricks. That's the plan. So they're a big corporation, and they have facilities all over the United States and probably beyond. So they're not necessarily going to trailer a unit from Johnston, Rhode Island there. They'll probably, it's not advantageous for them from a business model sense. So they'll find one local to Florida, or more local to Florida, and have it transported there.
Okay, that makes more sense. Just when I saw that address pop up on the bid package, set off a little alarm in the back of the head. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Major, that was one of the questions that I had that Councilman Ricks just asked. But had any other cab and chassis been priced out for this? I think Peterbilt's probably the Cadillac of the industry and certainly one of the top priced vehicles.
I wasn't directly involved in that aspect of the research. However, I do believe they did look around and check for other pricing, particularly under like these cooperative bids, where there's already like an MPA in place. And they found one under Peterbilt, and it's good to have a local Johnston location should we need to have any repairs done. So that's another advantage of using them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Further questions from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
We'll now go back a couple pages on the bid docket. Go to page 16, please. This is item number 2, bid 2024-349. This is Water Neptune cold water meters. Director, once you get up, please identify. And you may begin.
Good evening. Terry DiPetrillo, Chief of the Water Division.
Good evening.
We're requesting a 2-year bid for cold water meters. We had one bidder, which is Ty Sales. The current contract expires on March 26, 2024, and the new contract will be from March 27, 2024 to March 2026. We're requesting $350,000 for the 2 years, coming out of budget code 84799.
Thank you, Director. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move on to bid 2024-331. This is found on page 38. This is Sleepy Hollow Tennis Court Improvements. Christy, please identify, and you may begin, and then I'll turn it over to Councilman Gebhardt.
Christy Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to award the bid for the Sleepy Hollow Tennis Court improvements to Narragansett Improvement in the amount of $69,580.
Thanks, Christy.
Anytime.
Yeah, so this is one of the ARPA award projects. There is a somewhat dilapidated tennis court. We went out to bid. I think we got a couple bids back. And we're going to reconfigure this tennis court to have pickleball and tennis as well, dedicated. And should be a great project. So appreciate your support.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions, comments from members of the council? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a statement. I grew up right around here and got a number of calls. People are excited about this. So, Councilman, good work. And I think it's good forward thinking to not just do the tennis courts over again, that pickleball is the new popular sport. So I'm glad that you guys are doing that. So obviously I support this, and I just wanted to mention that a couple of people have reached out to me in support of this as well. So thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. Next is item number 5, bid 2024-389. This is for the purchase of solar speedlights. This is found on page 40. Chrissy, if you can open, and again, I'll do the courtesy of handing over to Councilwoman Travis and then Councilman Lattiser. Chrissy?
Public Works is requesting to purchase 16 solar speed signs. Excuse me, that'll be 8 locations, one sign in each direction, in the amount of $62,368. And that expense is split between Ward 5 and Ward 6 equally. So each ward will get 4 or 8 solar speed signs.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
Okay, so in Ward 6, the locations we're going to be at, because they're going to be near the schools, was Oakland Beach School, Warwick Veterans Middle School, Park School, in an intersection of Buttonwoods Avenue and Long Street and Asylum Road. So then it would be 4 locations, but 8 signs.
Yes, 2, well, 1 in each direction at each location. So 4 locations, 2 signs each, 8 signs total.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So, excuse me, I don't have any questions, but as Councilwoman Travis said, I have had a couple of them in my ward already, and we're finding them to be most effective. Interestingly, this morning I was coming down Warwick Neck Avenue heading to West Shore Road, and the sign is flashing away with the car quite a bit in front of me at 37 miles an hour, and in that spot it's a 20 mile an hour area. So there's still some people that apparently they just don't understand, but I found that those signs on Warwick Neck Avenue have been very effective, and I'm looking to put 2 on Sandy Lane, which is a highly speeding type of a road, Church Avenue, Tidewater Drive, and 2 of them right near the Learning Garden, which is another daycare type of school in my ward. So looking forward to getting these installed, and they have been quite effective. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt.
Just 2 questions on these, Chrissy. One was, do these have the capability to indicate when someone's over speed?
They're identical to the ones that we placed in your ward, as well as the ones that are utilized by the police department, I think, on Narragansett Parkway. I'm not entirely sure that they they have that capability to flash the, is that what you're asking, if they flash the number?
Yeah, I had talked to somebody in the admin that thought maybe it had that capability, but we hadn't turned it on yet, or maybe it didn't. Maybe that's an add-on. I'm not entirely sure.
Director, if you could please identify and then you
can speak. Yeah, Eric Earl, Director of Public Works. I believe the default is 10 miles an hour. We've been trying to figure out a way to get that down so they start flashing at 5, but they're that capability does exist in there. Whether or okay. not it's functioning like it's supposed to, we can take a look at that.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't appear, not that I've tested it, it doesn't appear to be active on the ones that are installed currently. So that might just be a configuration. I know these are obviously a new part of city infrastructure out there. So,
yeah, we modeled them after the ones that are currently Narragansett Parkway, and yeah. they function in that capacity. So it's the same model. So I think we just need to figure out the setting and adjust it accordingly. But we can take a look at that.
Okay, cool. Second is one piece of feedback I've gotten on these is just when they get installed, there's not always a speed limit sign immediately adjacent to where that sign is. So if it's possible to put a speed limit sign on the post, that is helpful, or above it, or I don't know what the best practice is, but to just have the speed there so that you see what speed you're doing and then what the allowed speed is. And just the third point/question is, now that we have a number of these out around the city, there's some level of calibration, I think, to them. So they point in the right direction and pick up the vehicle at the right point to alert. It seems, at least in some of the ones that I've observed, that either that drifts or maybe doesn't get set perfectly the first time. Should requests to look at that, are you guys maintaining them in DPW, or is that a traffic in WPD that does that?
I would send it over to both. You know, the internal calibration would be a PD thing, but I think Public Works, we install them.
Okay.
So we would probably work with PD on figuring out the proper location, angles, and whatever. But I appreciate you bringing that up.
Okay. All right. No problem. I'll send that feedback in. I haven't yet. So thank you.
Director, before, just to follow up on the councilman's question, is this, pardon my ignorance, is this the same company that we purchased the same models from prior, or is this a different company, same models?
No, this is the same.
Oh, okay. So when we put in this order, it'll be easy to find out what the calibration could be if they could lower
exactly.
it, like you said.
We coordinated that with PD before we started in it, because we want that consistency throughout the city.
Sure.
Because if they want to pull data off of it, obviously, you know, it makes more sense to have one system and one, you know, one setup. So we started doing that right from the beginning.
Excellent. And the earlier point he brought up about the flashing at a certain mile per hour, that can be found out too?
Yeah.
Easy
yeah,
enough?
We'll work on that.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So soon. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. So to Councilman Gebhardt's point, a while back I had requested the speed limit sign be put on the top of the flashing thing, and DPW took care of that right away. And it obviously is pretty important. As far as the calibration, I have spoken to the police department on the calibration of at least the two on Warwick Neck Avenue. So somewhere between them and DPW, they've worked on that.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Next would be bid 2024-390, dictation software for the police department. This is found on page 44. Good evening, Major.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the police department. The police department is seeking a 56-6 exception to notice in order to purchase new police dictation software. Dragon Professional Anywhere for Law Enforcement is a dictation software program made specifically for law enforcement. The software will allow our department to modernize our report system dictation process. Officers will be able to utilize a special microphone to dictate their police reports more efficiently while in the field.
It will also allow officers to conduct routine DMV checks safely via the microphone while driving. The annual initial first year startup course will be $56,150 and would then be $40,000 annually thereafter. The cost of the program is more than offset by two recently vacated data entry transcriptionist positions. If approved, this service would be funded from the police operating budget code 30-231, supplies computers.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Major, could you tell us what the savings will be for the elimination of the one part-time transcriptionist as well as the one full-time budget person?
Yes, the full-time position is budgeted at $57,262.50, while the part-time position was budgeted at $15,145. Recently, in recent months, we had one full-time transcriptionist retire and the part-timer quit. That leaves us with one full-timer who we plan to retain, who will still have work to do outside of the abilities of this software.
And that salary of the full-time employee at $57,000, that doesn't include any benefits, correct?
That's correct.
So the savings between the one full-time, which you will not need to fill, as well as the part-time that you're not going to fill as a result of the software, should it be approved, it's well in excess of $72,000, which is, what, 20%, 25% over the cost of the software itself, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from a member of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Have you or has someone in the department given this software a test run, or is the software that's currently being used?
Yes, our ASD Lieutenant Tim Kenyon, he did work diligently with the company to try out the software, explore it, research it. He did a great job, and we're confident this is going to be a good program for us. The important thing is it's CJIS compliant, CJIS. That's a Criminal Justice Information Services. We're law enforcement agencies are somewhat governed by that as far as transmittal of data. And this software is compliant with that. So there's no jeopardy of, less jeopardy, I can't say never, but of any cyber attacks.
Well, that's good to hear. I know, this is, whenever it involves police business, we can't just have it going over the cloud in some standard kind of a commercial system that other businesses may be able to use, but obviously the police department has to take much greater precautions there. So I can certainly see the need to go with a different company than some other competitors that aren't specifically geared in this way or wouldn't be providing this specific equipment and the like. Glad to hear that there was the testing done of this, because speech recognition technology has improved quite a lot lately, but it's in my experience, it's not quite there. So, I'm satisfied that the department did its due diligence in determining that this particular speech software would be able to effectively replace that one full-time and one part-time transcriptionist while having still one full-time transcriptionist.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Major. At this time, we've come to the part where I am going to call on members of the committee, members of the council, and then members of the public if they would like to pull any item within the bid package for discussion. I'll give everyone a moment, but I'll start with item number 7, bid 2024-379, found on page 50. I am pulling that for the council president. Per request of the council president, I will be pulling that item.